A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The crowd in Philippi joined in the attack on Paul and Silas. The magistrates had them stripped and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After inflicting many blows on them, they threw them into prison and instructed the jailer to guard them securely. When he received these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and secured their feet to a stake. About midnight, while Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God as the prisoners listened, there was suddenly such a severe earthquake that the foundations of the jail shook. All the doors flew open, and the chains of all were pulled loose. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, thinking that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted out in a loud voice, "Do no harm to yourself. We are all here." He asked for a light and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you and your household will be saved." So they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to everyone in his house. He took them in at that hour of the night and bathed their wounds. Then he and all his family were baptized at once. He brought them up into his house and provided a meal, and with his household rejoiced at having come to faith in God. Verbum Domini. Your right hand saves me, O Lord.
Your right hand saves me, O Lord.
I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all my heart, for you have heard the words of my mouth. In the presence of the angels, I will sing your praise. I will worship at your holy temple and give thanks to your name.
Your right hand saves me, O Lord.
Because of your kindness and your truth, you have made great above all things your name and your promise. When I called, you answered me. You built up strength within me. Your right hand saves me. The Lord will complete what he has done for me. Your kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of your hands.
Vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Now I am going to the one who sent me. And not one of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' Because I told you this, grief has filled your hearts. But I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I go. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world in regard to sin and righteousness and condemnation. Sin because they do not believe in me. Righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will no longer see me. Condemnation, because the ruler of this world has been condemned." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Jesus Christ. It may strike us as very odd that our Lord should say at this moment that it is bitter for us that he go. Grief is very much the proper response to this news, and this sorrow will barely compare to the emotion at his impending betrayal and passion of the Lord. So we're in John 16. John 19 is the crucifixion, but we're really preparing at this point for Pentecost in the lectionary, so we're speaking very much about the coming of the Holy Spirit, so all these places where the Spirit is leading both the apostles, Paul being led by the Spirit, but our Lord speaking about the gift of the Spirit. So it is easy to think also the utter confusion of the two on the way to Emmaus after the resurrection in the gospel according to Luke, that they had heard of the Lord's appearing to the women that morning. And Jesus says to the two pondering travelers, "Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer, as it says in the scriptures?" But why would that be necessary? In what way is suffering ever necessary? So the important or key word here is go. That although Jesus says, no one of you asked me, "Where are you going?" The answer has been central in the Gospel of John. And even after the resurrection, when our Lord will say to Mary Magdalene, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father," even still, our Lord does not depart from the tears of Mary. He there turns to comfort her before he goes and imparts to her a mission to the apostles, that her grief is turned to joy as she goes from the empty tomb. That Jesus does not go before imparting comfort. The intermediate end of all of this is the sending of the Spirit, the Advocate, the one who will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And yes, this is a good thing, a necessary good in every age. And there is an infinite difference between being convicted of sin by God and being accused of sin by the evil one. That there is always room for growth, for conversion, and there is never room for condemnation in Christ Jesus. That our Lord came to seek and to save what is lost. And his love transforms those who are embraced by them, by him, making them righteousness and beloved children of the Heavenly Father. So the Spirit of God brings victory and triumph over sin and death, while the evil one only desires darkness and ruin. But he has been condemned. When our Lord finishes his work, the work that he was sent to do, he expires, that is, he breathes forth the Spirit in an utterly new way, that from the cross our Lord already begins to send him to us. In John chapter 19, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." And the vinegar sponge is placed to his lips, and having drank the bitter wine, Jesus says, "It is finished." And with that, he bows his head and gives up his spirit. That from the cross, our Lord sends the Spirit to us who can now receive him. Our sins having been crucified, our wounds having been healed, we can receive the gift of love, and within this experience of love, illumination, which casts out the darkness from our hearts. And on the third day in the upper room, again the risen Lord breathes forth the Holy Spirit upon the apostles for the task of forgiving sin, or in the case of judgment, retaining sin. In either case, or in every case, it is the proclamation of the gospel, impelled by the love of God, the Spirit poured forth into our hearts, which brings saving faith in God. So finally, in that it is better for you that I go, we also look to the Most Holy Eucharist, where we both see him and do not see him. His presence is hidden, and yet we know through the conviction of faith given us by the Holy Spirit that he is here, that he has come back to us, that he is not gone from us. He is here, present in all the tabernacles of the world. And before the ascension, the resurrection and ascension, his sacred body was in one place, but now it is better. In the sacrament, he is with us wherever Mass is celebrated and his sacred body is reserved. So until he returns again in glory to take us where he has gone before, where he has gone to prepare a place for us, he is with us always, until the end of the world, here upon our altars in the hands of the priests.